O God, give us the wisdom from above, so that we may understand that in your sight, the one who serves is the greatest of all. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We continue our journey with Jesus and the disciples toward Jerusalem, as Jesus continues to teach his disciples and us about discipleship. As is often the case in Scripture, the 8 brief verses of our Gospel reading this morning present us with several significant events. We begin with Jesus telling his disciples for the second time that he will face trial and execution but will rise again. The disciples, as usual, have no idea what he's talking about. And in a rather revealing comment, we are told they are afraid to ask him. This in contrast to last week, when Peter was eager to actually rebuke Jesus after Jesus told them the first time he must undergo suffering and death. It seems fear and silence will be part of this story until it is completed. This second passion prediction is followed by 2 brief episodes, also told in Matthew and Luke, and revisited in the next chapter of Mark. Spoiler alert, the revisit will be our reading 2 weeks from today. To give us an idea of just how completely the disciples do not comprehend what Jesus has been trying to teach them, we learn they have been in a discussion of who among them was the greatest. This, after listening to the teaching of the parables, witnessing numerous healings, being present at not one but 2 miraculous feedings of large crowds, seeing Jesus walk on the water, and the transfiguration. Well, you think after all of this, maybe at least 1 or 2 of them would begin to get a clue. But alas, they remain firmly rooted in the very human side of their messianic expectation, looking for glory and power. They seem to sense that this is truly inappropriate, for when Jesus asked them what they were discussing on the road, they sheepishly remain silent. By now they have reached Capernaum and they are gathered inside a house. Jesus is about to give them yet another session of private teaching. So, Jesus sits down, assuming the position of a respected rabbinic teacher, and calls them to gather around for another lesson. What follows is nothing less than an authoritative word from Jesus about rank among his followers. Again, he explains his message to them, the simple yet alarmingly radical teaching that the first will be last and the last will be first. As disciples, we are called to serve, not to rule. The kingdom of God embraces all of creation, most particularly the marginalized, the overlooked, the powerless, the neglected, those without a voice. And to underscore his teaching with a visual aid, he places a child among them. And embracing the child tells them that whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes Jesus welcomes the one who sent him. Therefore, this child, as Jesus' representative, as Jesus' ambassador, allows one to actually welcome God. Jesus' choice of a child is significant, of course. In our time, we have come to a much romanticized ideal of childhood, which is actually a development of the late 19th century. In Jesus' time, children were essentially non-entities. They had no social standing, no legal standing, and no status, although they were expected to work within the family with the women. Another group of low social status and societal standing. Adulthood came with adolescence, when girls could be married off and begin to have their own children, and boys could begin proper work, either in the fields or in an income-producing trade. To have a child among the male disciples of a famous rabbi would have been unheard of in Jesus' time. Consider the fact that infant mortality in first century Palestine was somewhere between 30 and 50%. That means that up to half the children that you have could not be expected to see adulthood. Combine that with a life expectancy of 22 to 30 years. In contemporary terms, that means that just about the time young adults today are graduating from college and moving back in with mom and dad, first century people of Palestine would have already had their children, half of whom did not survive, and if they were lucky, may have seen a grandchild or two as they were nearing terminal old age. Yet Jesus takes this child and tells the disciples that this person of no standing, no status, and no voice is his stand-in, his representative, to whom they welcome the one who sent Jesus. Through whom they actually welcome God. This stands in stark contrast to the debate the disciples were having among themselves as to who was the greatest. Being the close followers and inner circle of a well-known rabbi should enhance the status of the disciples. With this in mind, they were maneuvering to see where they might fall in the hierarchy of status and recognition when their time of power and glory arrived. But Jesus has now elevated the status of this mere child to that of emissary of God. Once again, Jesus has turned upside down the expectations of the disciples and of us. Once again, Jesus demonstrates the radical difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world concern themselves with power and glory and control. The same place in which the disciples found themselves at the beginning of our reading today. Jesus continually models the kingdom of God, which concerns itself with the embrace of all of creation and the value of all the created. Our highest calling is to serve God and all of God's creation. In this great economy of God, there are no outcomes.